So, Mark Batchelor.
Yes, you got it.
I've been doing horrible at like remembering who I'm talking to later, so I want to make sure I can plug you.
If I didn't scan you, I won't remember either way. So I scanned you.
Okay, good, cool. So, so yesterday we had a really awesome talk about what these guys are doing, but I figured we got to come back. I really want to get this on tape because I want you to tell everyone else what you guys are doing, because I think what you're doing is definitely on the right track where a lot of the identity, especially from the risk side, needs to be going, and especially on a more hyper focus of a specific thing. You're not like, oh, we're going to do everything. Yeah. You're going to do this. You're going to do it awesome. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your company and what you're doing?
Yeah, sure. So kind of real quick, most of us started in the identity space like 20 years ago kind of thing. We've all worked for a bunch of these different vendors. And, you know, for us, we kind of evolved. We started off about 2 years ago and we wanted to be a better risk score. It's kind of just sort of what we started as. I don't know, about halfway through that, we realized that what we really were building was an account takeover mitigation platform. And we were doing it in a pretty interesting way.
So what does that mean? What is attack mitigation platform? Like, what's that in layman's term?
Account takeover, right? Yeah. So in layman's terms, it just means that we look at a whole bunch of indicators when someone logs in or they register or they do any kind of high value identity event. And then we look for account takeover indicators. So what's the odds of this thing that's doing this?
So account takeover, someone else is in control of the
account. Someone else is in control of the account, right? Or something's out of whack for that person, for whatever it is, right? We do it via server-side fingerprinting. So, you know, we're not doing any client-side JavaScript or anything like that. We're actually sort of doing a little bit of behavioral analytics with that. And then we've got a rules engine that lets you ask us questions at any point to orchestrate some kind of outcome, right? Cool. Outcome could be anything you want it to be, MFA. We partnered with this company over here, ID Data Web, for proofing.
We'll talk to them next.
Yeah, go talk to them next. they do the proofing side of it for us. So we can send people over to get document proofed or phone proofed. They've got a whole bunch of stuff they proof
so
with.
So why'd you pick them? How about that?
One of the guys used to work for me.
Oh, there you go.
But they're also, they're kind of the Switzerland of the proofing world, right? They've got a big sort of network of things they can proof against. They don't really store any data, but they've got policies and they can orchestrate all that. They're just easy to work with. So that's why they picked
them. Cool.
Anyway, if they get proofed, we have these fingerprints. We call them signal prints. And what happens is if they get proofed via them, we get back data packets from them that tells us this is now a verified print. So not only has an integrated customer actually told us who the user was, we've printed them, we've screened them for risk, we've screened them for account takeover indicators. If they've gone through a proofing event, now we have a verified print. That verified print's tightly coupled to the user now.
Okay.
And so not only has a company told us who they are, a third party has proved it, right? And now we have this little piece of gold.
So you're drastically reducing that risk score from the proofing.
Yeah, the little verified print is a little piece of data gold that basically, if I have a verified print, I can be highly sure this is likely.
And are you leveraging this data to any third parties things, or are you maintaining it all internally?
So
basically, are you selling other people's data?
No. Okay. not yet. That's selling, it's the wrong way to think about it. There's a good chance that we'll take these verified prints and potentially write them out as a verified claim someday somewhere, so they can be used in wallets for authentication and things like that, right? Okay. So, you know, Web3 stuff, I may show up somewhere, and if I have a verified print, maybe I don't have to do the extra step, that kind of thing, right?
Cool.
So we're headed with it.
So I guess that makes sense. So you're basically kind of being like a third party vouching for the proofing side. So this way they don't have to go through the proofing every single time and say, look, we've already done it.
You got it.
And does that expire ever? Or is it just kind of like indefinite?
Over time, it attritions out over time, right? Okay. So over a span of time frame, that verified print becomes less and less valid because—
And you guys are already with the Ping DaVinci store and a couple others, right?
We're in Ping DaVinci store. We're in Auth0 marketplace. We're almost in ForgeRock marketplace.
Okay.
We're doing a little bit of work with Microsoft on that side. And then, you know, at the end of the day, we're really just two API endpoints.
Yeah.
We're an endpoint that ingests signals. Well, it ingests events.
Okay.
And we're an endpoint that ask questions. People can ask us questions.
So from the API perspective, I mean, obviously it looks like you're primed to plug into the orchestration. That's where the world's 100%. Moving in the identity space, and you're just already there.
Yep.
So from the API perspective, the legacy, if we want to tack into like microservices, like we develop everything in microservices as much as possible. So I would imagine if you're very API based, that's also very plug and play for 100%. Microservices infrastructure.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, we POC'd it, but we never got far with it. We actually had somebody that wanted to do, they they offer Docker images of their service, right?
Okay. Yeah.
As available.
It seems pretty common nowadays.
Pretty common, yeah. But they've got this infrastructure in place that they were going to create signal prints for the Docker images,
okay.
the machine images themselves, to know if it's been tampered with for a person and things like that, right?
So, wow, so it's like a Kubernetes tripwire.
like give Kubernetes an identity and and print it. So we never went anywhere with it, but it's a simple API call.
That's a cool idea.
Yeah.
So from these API calls, how much of that is cached versus real-time lookup every time, like for risk analysis? Like if I'm, because if I'm making, you know, a bunch of different calls, then one, I might just call, just say, hey, look, this person's requesting a site. I call, is it good? But some people, like a lot of financial institutions we work with, they call everything, every single page load, every single entitlement, everything they're calling out for that risk score.
Yeah, we cache a ton of it. On the plus side, it's not that much data that you're getting back from us. You're really getting back a little response that's just an outcome that you've defined. So the outcome might be MFA, it might be proof, whatever. The other side of that is that our prints, our fingerprints, are actually made up of a bunch of open source intelligent data.
Okay.
So when somebody passes an IP address to create a print, for example, we'll look up everything we can about that IP address and generate the print based on the OSINT data, not just the fact that it was an IP address.
So what data do we have to pass to you? So if I'm making that request, what do you need to make that make that risk analysis?
Minimum request for a signal print for us is we want an IP address. Mm-hmm. We need a username, preferably an email, because they've got a ton of data, right?
Okay.
We need a user agent or like an app ID that uniquely defines the app. And we can do phone numbers. That's not required. And then a time of day. Right.
Okay.
Which is automatic. And that's it. Based on that data, we then.
That's not a lot. That's crazy.
I know. And we look up all the OSINT data behind that. We create this like 100 vector array that we start doing nearest neighbor comparisons against to get where we need to go.
Nice. Yeah. How long have you guys been around?
So we started technically 2 years ago.
Okay.
But the product that you've seen,
we've
only been in the market for about 4 months with it.
Damn. You're moving fast. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. We're screaming. So. Yeah, that's us, man.
That's really cool. So if people want to get a hold of you, what should they do?
Verisynt.com.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the best way to do it.
Awesome, man.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks. See you around, guys.